Hello, and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mother podcast. I'm Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor supporting women in healing mother wounds through women's circles and through the one-on-one 10 weeks program. To know more about these offerings, check out my website, womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. And also don't forget to sign up to the newsletter to know all about the upcoming membership and community, which will be launching early new year. So here we are at the end of another year, and I want to take time and check in with you and ask you, how are you? And I truly mean it. I really want to know, how are you? How are you at this point in time when we get bombarded with people loudly celebrating their successes for the year gone by and setting high and mighty goals for the one to come? How are you at this point with all the pressure that can be perceived at this time, the end of the year? I'm publishing this episode actually on New Year's Eve, and there can be so much pressure at this point about how we're gonna set ourselves up for the new year to come. And to top it all up, there's an abundance of noise made by those pushing their system on how to set yourself up for next year, telling you that if you don't do what they preach, you'll miss out on so much. But in the mad race to sell you their new product as early as possible at the beginning of January, no one is pausing for a moment to ask you, how are you? So that is what I want to make time to do right now, and ask you how you are. Why do I want to do that? Because you matter. You really matter so much. No matter how your year went or how you feel about it, no matter how set up or not you are for the next one, you matter. And this time, you know, the end of the year, beginning of a new one, is only that. It's only one little moment in time that comes and goes just like that. And ultimately, it's actually a 100% man-made concept. I mean, the year is ending and beginning. Lots of different cultures have their ending of the year at a different time and the beginning of the year at a different time. So it's like 100% a man-made concept, a society-accepted concept that tonight the year 2024 is ending and tomorrow the year 2025 starts, but ultimately it's just a moment in time. But you are so much more important than that. As daughters of narcissistic mothers, we often forget about ourselves in our own personal battle to be enough, our own personal battle to survive, and to keep pleasing others so they'll stay around, they'll stick around. I personally have done that for a long time, and I still sometimes forget about myself. I forget to pause and ask myself, how are you? You know, how am I? So how are you? I'd actually really love to hear from you in the comments. You're super welcome to answer that as openly as you feel like. How are you right now? And if you feel like sharing more, you are also welcome to send me an email at mathilde@womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. You're absolutely welcome to do that. How do you feel when you look back to the year gone by? Do you feel like you should have done better? And how do you feel when you look at the year ahead? Do you hear a big list of all the things you should be doing loud in your head? Or be preparing for, or set yourself up for, the goals you should be setting and all of that? Are you comparing your year with what others are recounting of theirs? Are you feeling like you only have a string of failures and mistakes to look back to while everyone else has a lot to celebrate? And if you're feeling any of this, I really, really get it. If you find it super challenging to make lists of resolutions and vision boards or future casting, I get it. At the same time, if all of that stuff works for you, that's wonderful too. So I'm not saying that those things are bad and that they're not useful tools at times, and that there isn't a value in looking back at the end of a cycle. Life is in cycles, shorter cycles or longer cycles, depending. And these sort of end of the year, beginning of a new year can be viewed as that, the end of a cycle and the beginning of a new one. So if you're feeling like looking back, or if you're feeling like planning ahead, and if this feels actually helpful and empowering to you, that's absolutely wonderful. The issue is that very often, especially as daughters of narcissistic mothers, as women that have been through a lot in from early childhood, there's a lot of conditioning, and we spoke tons about it on this podcast, so you can go back, even the episode of last week when we were talking about the wound of non-deserving, that's a big deal. So all of these things are in our system, and so when we're faced with what everyone else is doing, and especially when other people are pushing these systems as the only right way to do things, this can play a lot on the shame that we feel inside, the inadequacy that we feel inside. And very often we may feel like we're the only one that aren't able to do these things that obviously everyone else is doing so successfully, because of course that's all that they're sharing on their social media accounts. They're not going to share their mistakes. They're only going to share the good stuff. But that's what we see, and we get bombarded. And especially if they're trying to sell us products, of course they're going to make it sound like that is the only way. And if you are not feeling that that's going to work for you, or if you've tried and sort of failed to make it work for you and all of that, there is a high chance that you're going to feel really bad about it and inadequate. Taking future casting, for example, you know, visualizing yourself in 1 year from now or in 10 years from now. I want to use this as an example to tell you about my own personal experience. So my husband is a great fan of future casting. He loves visualizing where he will be in 1 year or in 10 years and all of that. It works for him. And that's great. I mean, I don't mind that it works for him. But he tried, of course, to rope me into this system. And years ago, he asked me, you know, it was like, well, he does ask me every now and again, actually. And my answer, anyways, years ago was, 1 year? You're asking me to look at where I want to be in 1 year. I'm trying to get to Friday in one piece. No way I can tell you about 1 year from now. And that was like a very sincere answer, although we still laugh about it, when we still joke about the differences in approach that we have, my husband and I. But that was actually an answer that I gave him when I had gotten to the point where I accepted that that was not something that worked for me. At least not. I'm actually at a point where I can slowly begin to do that a little. But I really wasn't able years ago. And that answer, you know, I'm trying to get to Friday in one piece. Don't bother asking me where I'm going to be 1 year from now and to start visualizing that. That's not happening. That's actually bringing a whole heap of very intense and uncomfortable emotions to the surface, which is great information. But I don't need to go lingering in that and go stalking that. But before that answer, so the years before that, my perceived inability to future cast was something I felt bad about for a long time. Because I could see how a lot of other people do it. Coaches use that all the time. My husband used that all the time. And I've been in coaching circles, I've been in groups with high performance people and blah, blah, they all could do it and I couldn't. So I felt really, really bad. Everyone seemed to be able to do it while I couldn't even bring myself to hope for something good coming my way. So that's to give you an example. And looking back on the year gone by and trying to celebrate, this was another thing that I definitely couldn't do. That felt even worse than future casting. I couldn't see anything good. I would only see what others did great, and admiration for others quickly turned into beating myself up, in comparing myself to others, and always, of course, coming up short. So if this is what happens to you at this time of the year, you are not alone in this. This is a challenging time for all daughters of narcissistic mothers. I hear that constantly with clients, with emails I received. And like I remember from last year when I published an episode on this topic, a little bit different, but on this topic, I got a lot of feedback that resonated quite a bit. So you are not alone in this at all, at all, at all. And you're not bad or broken if you only see the negatives, both past and future. To understand why this happens to us as daughters of narcissistic mothers, we need to speak about the negativity bias. So studies say that as humans, we all are negativity biased as a surviving mechanism. They say this is what kept us ready for the possible kind of whatever tiger attacking us in the jungle, expecting the worst in order to survive, so to speak. And personally, and this is very much a personal opinion, so don't take this as anything else but a personal opinion, I'm still not fully convinced that being aware and prepared is a sign of negativity bias as an intrinsic aspect of being human. Like, that's what this study is saying, that as human beings, we are intrinsically negativity biased. And this is a concept that it doesn't really sit very well with me, but that's my own personal opinion. But definitely, when we have experienced trauma growing up, this surviving mechanism does kick in, for sure. As daughters of narcissistic mother, we need to be constantly on alert and prepared for the worst in order to survive, because that's what we had to do when we were children. In whichever your personal situation or version of it was, when we have a mother that is narcissistic, emotionally unavailable, emotionally immature and unsafe, we live in this constant state of not being safe. And so we learn to predict what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, when the shit is going to hit the fan, and we learn to dodge it, we learn to avoid it, we learn a whole heap of strategies in our own nervous system to stay alive. And we continue to do that in every other situation in life as we grow up as adults. So we continue to expect the worst. And we continue to see only the bad stuff. Because that's how our nervous system has been trained and wired from early, early childhood. As a daughter of narcissistic mother, you have likely been conditioned to feel inadequate by default. That to celebrate yourself is selfish and bad, something you don't do. That if you dare have a moment to celebrate yourself, someone will inevitably put you down. And in your childhood, this might have been your mother more than likely, and then possibly she's still doing that. And my mother still does that. I know I'm no contact, but if I was actually in contact, she would still be doing that. And she still actually does it. Even though we're no contact, I know it from other family members that she's still doing that. She still puts my successes down as much as she can, because that's just the way she behaves. And you've also probably been conditioned to feel guilty if you dare to do something for yourself, or to expect the worst so you won't feel disappointed, or that before focusing on you, there's a long list of shoulds you need to tend to first. Or that you don't deserve anything for yourself, like we spoke in the episode last week, the wound of non-deserving. Or that you're alone against the world and life is inherently hard. So with this stellar conditioning, it is very natural to feel defeated at this time of the year. Looking back feels like shit. Looking forward, well, it's gonna be more shit, so why bother? So the next question is, as daughters of narcissistic mothers, are we doomed to only see the negative for the rest of our lives? Absolutely not. That's the good news. Absolutely not. This pattern of being super wired to only see the negative, both past and future, is a very natural response of a nervous system that has been through a lot of unsafety emotionally and even physically, right from early childhood. But your nervous system can be retrained. And that is the good news, the best news. This is like the news to finish the year and start the new one in a good way. your nervous system can be retrained. You've heard me talking about this on this podcast quite a bit. This is what this work is all about. The pattern that has controlled your life until now was a very useful tactic that has kept you alive at times where you had no other tool to survive what you were going through. This negativity bias, this being wired to expect the worst, this not celebrate, keep yourself small, take the little, as little space as possible, believe you don't deserve anything because it's easier and safer that way, has kept you alive. And it's such a sacred part because it has done this job really well up until now, but now it's not helpful anymore. Why not? Because it's only a survival mechanism and it won't get you to thriving. Surviving is not living, not fully. And living fully is what we're here for. And I'm going to say that again. Surviving is not living, and living fully is what we are here for, what you are here for. So what can you do different this end of the year, beginning of a new one? What can you do different from today? Today, I want to share with you something you can do from now. Forget about all these. If they don't work for you, again, if they do work for you, please go ahead and do all the things that actually work for you. This is only for those of you that, like me in the past, and even today, to be honest, certain practices I still can't bring myself to do. Some of the stuff that's advised out there on how to approach New Year and all of that, it still really doesn't work for my system. It's a 100% no. My body goes, that ain't happening. So that's what this episode is about. It's for those of you who are feeling like all of this stuff that's being bombarded at us, that it's advertised left, right, and center, that we feel this pressure that is like, okay, we've went through the holidays and Christmas and whatever holidays you were celebrating, and now we're getting to this point where this year is ending, and then there's all this pressure to get in shape, to get great, to eat well, to lose weight, to set goals, becoming career women, boss babes, make money, being the best mother of the year, whatever it is that you're feeling the pressure and these systems are not working for you, today I want to share with you something that you can actually do from now that is completely different, that when I started doing that actually really, really, really changed everything for me. So that's what I want to do today. I do speak to a few aspects to keep in mind about New Year's resolution in episode 36, why New Year's resolutions don't work for daughters of narcissistic mothers. So after this episode is finished, you can go listen to that one too, as it may be helpful, as I'm not actually repeating in this episode here what I did speak to last year. I will have the link in the description of this episode. But for today, I want to give you the one thing that no one ever tells you to do at this time, but that will make the biggest difference. Now, does that mean that all other practices are not good at all? As I already mentioned, I'm really not saying that. There are a lot of very effective practices out there. Like, there are benefits to set goals. There are benefits to look back and take stock of the cycle gone by, to make a conscious choice to celebrate parts of you or achievements that mean something to you, and all of that. That can be very beneficial. With the right guidance, these practices can give you a lot of information and also support you moving forward. So I'm not denying any of that. But not always our nervous system is ready for all of that. And we can't skip ahead. That's the thing I had to learn the hard way. You can't skip ahead. If your nervous system isn't ready for something, you can't skip ahead and pretend, because it's going to catch up with you. And that's what happens when we do all this crazy New Year's resolution and we feel this mad rush of power and we feel like, yes, we can do this and all of that. But because it's not grounded in the body and your body is actually going, no, this is not going to work. Self-sabotage is going to kick in. You're actually going to start and stop. You're going to need so much willpower that there's no way you're going to be able to keep it going. It's all sort of bypassing and overriding and head-led kind of positivity, but it's not grounded in the body. It's not grounded in your deep inner wisdom. Especially when we're trying to do this alone and we also don't have the proper support available yet. Because if you have a support group, a community, or some mentor that actually can guide you through this, then that's a different story. But when you're on your own doing this work, this particular New Year sort of transition on your own, and you're trying to apply all these tools that don't actually feel right for your nervous system, that gets very intense. So here is something you can do from now to create the biggest impact for your nervous system and begin to retrain it from now. And the key word is pause. Pause. Pause and pause and pause. Everyone is rushing you to go to the next level. Everyone is rushing to go from 2024 to 2025. Everyone is rushing to go from whatever you've been doing up until now into whatever you want to do next, and changing and pushing and improving and whatever that is. Instead of doing that, instead of joining the race, pause. Pause by taking a moment to yourself, possibly in a space where you can be undisturbed for a little while, like 10 minutes. You don't need to do this like for hours a day. Very little time is enough, because we usually don't ever do that. So actually, if you can manage to pause, really pause for 10 minutes, that's massive. That's amazing. That's a great achievement. And I am not actually joking. And when you pause, ask yourself, how am I? You know, how are you? Ask yourself, how are you? You'll get all sorts of answers. That can be one possibility. All sorts of answers. And the first 100 or more will be automatic responses. A lot of noise can come on in your head. A lot of thoughts. Or you may actually not have an answer at all. You may feel like you don't know how you are. And so all of that is okay. None of that means you're not doing it right. All of that is okay. Stick with it and gently from this move to step two. So first step, pause. Step two, feel. And one way to feel into your body, feel into yourself, like one pathway that is absolutely amazing, is to feel your breath. And we can take a moment to do this now. We can try it together actually right now. If you can at all, pause what you're doing as you listen. So maybe you're listening to this while you're cleaning or while you're preparing for something or whatever you're doing. Pause that activity for a moment, just a minute. We're not going to do this for ages. If you're driving, please don't try to do this now and come back to it later. But if you can pause and feel your breath. Feel your breath right now. It doesn't have to be deep or long or anything else fancy. This is not like a crazy meditation on breath or a breathing practice. Breath work is none of that. It's just feel into your breath exactly how it is right now. Exactly where it goes in your body. You may feel the movement of it in and out. It's in and out of your nose, maybe of your mouth. The expansion and contraction of your body as you breathe. Maybe your shoulders rise and fall as you breathe. Maybe your chest does. Maybe your belly expands. Whatever sensation, one breath at a time, feel into that. Feel into the breath. And that's it. That's it. That was the little experiment for now. So that was just to give you a little taste. And of course, when you're doing this by yourself, you're going to do that for maybe a few minutes, you know, a little bit longer. But that's all it is feeling into your breath. And when all that noise that's in your head, all those automatic responses want to come, all of that you just let them be there. You don't follow them and you just keep breathing. Keep feeling your breath, feeling the sensation of your breath moving in and out at whatever rhythm. And it may slow down and get deeper as you do this, or it may not. It's okay. Either way, it doesn't matter. You're not trying to slow your breathing down. You are only feeling your breathing. Feeling your breathing. That's all it is. So first you pause, then you ask yourself, how are you? How are you? I want to know how you are to yourself. And then you feel your breath. And then after you've done a few minutes, that's your third step. After you've done a few minutes of feeling into your breath, ask the question again. Ask how are you again. And let the response emerge from within. And the response is going to be yours, unique to you. There's no one right or wrong response. There's no one way for this to come. It doesn't even have to be a positive response as, you know, I'm great. I'm feeling so relaxed right now. It mightn't be that. You could be feeling frustrated. You could be feeling like absolute shit. You could be feeling like you want to bang your head on the wall. I do sometimes, for sure. Especially when I pause and feel into my body. There are times where I am way more upset than I actually thought I was. Okay, that's powerful information. So whatever the response is, try your best not to judge the response that comes, but take it as very precious information. Because in the racing of moving from one place to the next, of transitioning from one year to the next, and all the pressure, we're never stopping to actually feel into how we truly are. And that's where the information is. Because only when you know how you truly are, then you know what's your next step. I can't know that I need a nap if I can't pause to actually feel if I am genuinely tired. I could go on hours and hours with a background tiredness that I don't even know is there, just because I haven't paused and really felt into it. And 10 minutes nap would have actually sorted it for me hours ago. Now, this is a very basic example, but that's really what happens. We just race from one thing to the other, never actually fully checking in with ourselves, never pausing. Pausing without phones, without podcasts, without Netflix, without anything. Just pausing for a few minutes and then really checking in and go, this is how I'm feeling right now. And from there, this is what I need. So this practice, first step, pause. Then feel your breath. So you get all that noise to sort of settle because you're staying with your breath. And then third, ask again, how are you to yourself? And let the response emerge from within. And use that response as potent information to know what to do next. So if there's any practice that can change your life by doing it every day for a few minutes, this is it. And I am not kidding. I'm not here promoting anything or selling you anything. I'm just giving you this because this has changed my life. And I know that when I share this with clients, it always has an incredible impact. It's incredible what comes back. The healing that happens, the incredible shifts in reality of the clients that I work with when I share this sounds so simple. Sounds so simple, but check in with yourself. Checking in with yourself is an incredibly powerful practice. Taking the time to show your nervous system that you matter. You matter and you deserve to be asked, how are you? And to be heard in your response. You know, we constantly hope and search for others to do this for us, you know, to ask us how we are. You know, how many times have you wanted your partner to ask you or your mother to actually fully ask you, your father to ask you? I know I have tons of times for them to ask me, not because they're trying to manipulate me, not because they want to hear me in the response that's best soothing off for them or any of that, you know, referring to my parents and my narcissistic mother first and foremost, that asking how I was or how I am. So that then she can just use that information to spin her manipulations and stuff, but to actually ask me how I am because I matter to her. How often have we hoped to get that from the outside? We can actually do it for ourselves. You can do that for yourself. And the great thing is, your nervous system doesn't know the difference if it's someone outside asking or if it's yourself asking to yourself. Your nervous system can't tell the difference. She feels heard and seen even better, actually, than if it comes from someone else. When you pause and take that time to be with yourself and ask yourself, how are you, from that sincere place, and you're willing to stay there a few minutes to take a few breaths and wait for the response to fully come, that is medicine for your nervous system. Your inner self, all the parts of you that don't usually feel seen and heard, with this practice, they're going to begin to feel seen and heard. And that's such medicine. It's great healing for your nervous system and retraining at the same time. By doing this every day, you will start getting very valuable information also, which is a very important thing. You will get to know what's live in your inner world in that moment. And this wealth of information is the fuel for what is or are the most empowering steps for you to take next. So if you're trying to feel into what are your next most empowering steps for the beginning of the year, well, you can't actually get those out of your head or out of your rational mind or out of a vision board that you've done because you think those are the things you should be doing or things people are expecting of you or things that would make you feel less inadequate because that's what society tells you you have to do. But if you actually pause and take a moment to get that information from within, and you do this every day, forgetting about the 1st of January, forgetting about what time of the year it is, you actually do this every day for a few minutes, you are going to get such important information. And that is going to build the foundation for a completely new life, a life that you didn't even know was possible for you. So, yeah. That's all I've got for you today. I hope this is helpful, and I'd love to hear from you actually as you do this practice, how you feel, what comes up. If you find it challenging, if you have questions on how to do this, you're absolutely welcome to ask in the comments or reach out via email, emailing me at Mathilde@womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. And yeah, with that, I am going to wish you, because this episode is coming out on the 31st of December, whatever about what society says, I am still going to wish you that the next year coming, the next cycle coming, is going to be the one year where you actually get to live fully. You start reclaiming your life one step at the time, one little 10 minutes practice at the time, you start reclaiming your life and living fully from your truth, from your inner wisdom, and you start feeling more and more that love for yourself that you so deserve. That's what I wish for you for this new year that is coming. So with that, I am gonna send you lots and lots of love, and bye for now.